Hey guys, it's Alfredo.
And this is Brian.
And this is Film Purgatory. So thank you guys so much for joining us this week. We are finishing off, capping off, spooky season.
A little late, but it's okay. Spooky season is extended this year.
Spooky season's in the heart.
I still got pumpkins in my house.
Damn. Fall.
I call the pumpkin Jose.
Nice. But yeah, spooky season, guys. We're finishing off this season with, what was it, like paranormal, demonic, possession?
Paranormal slash demonic slash possession slash, I don't give a fuck. What you call it?
Whatever you want.
But to clarify, there are a few films that have possession or have the demonic aspect to it that aren't included simply because we have whole episodes on movies like The Exorcist,
right?
Like Conjuring,
exactly. Insidious.
So it would be Insidious. It would be redundant,
right?
And we're not trying to do the same thing over and over again. We're trying to bring out new content, new movies y'all haven't heard of.
Nice.
Hopefully, it's valuable.
Non-mainstream demonic movies. What's up?
Non-mainstream.
Nice.
I like that.
I don't do mainstream.
We know. Unless it's The Office.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. I'll live that. I'll live up to that. But yeah, guys, we're going to follow the same criteria. Basically, we've done the whole spooky season. Three versus three. I'm going to start my three off with Jennifer's Body, 2009. This one's a horror slash comedy. I didn't really see the comedy aspect in this.
The comedy was how bad it was.
It could be.
Got him.
I was waiting for that one. But this was directed by Karen Kusama. Karen was the one who directed Eon Flux with Charlize Theron. You remember that one?
I remember that one.
It was
a weird one.
It
was like 9.
Yeah.
When that came out.
It was a weird one. She also directed The Invitation.
Oh, okay.
That's with Logan Marshall Green. Jeff Hardy.
James Hardy lookalike. I know exactly who you're talking about because
that was
the first time I saw Logan Marshall. He I think he had long hair in this one, yeah. Longer-ish.
Like, I hate this
shoulder.
Guy.
Huh?
I hate this guy so much.
Yeah.
<It's> like
this movie was interesting, worth the watch. It's one of those cult tries to recruit and we're all gonna kill each other. Like it's kind of like a Jim Jones. You know, turned into a movie type thing.
I kind of liked it, especially the ending. The ending was really good to me.
There's a few movies I've seen with similar storylines on Netflix. Not to name any specific, but it's a storyline I've seen a few times. And as long as it's done right, it's enjoyable.
Pretty solid.
And this is one of those I would put in that category.
Casting this one's pretty good. We got Megan Fox. She's from the Transformers franchise. That's pretty much all she's done, really.
And Jennifer's Body.
That's it. Amanda
Seyfried.
I actually looked this up.
Nice.
Mamma Mia.
Mama
She's the main girl from Mamma Mia.
You know, she reminds me of Cassie from Euphoria.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm.
Like Cassie looks like she could be the real Amanda Seyfried. And this girl is like the diet version.
Damn.
I don't know. I just think Cassie is very pretty.
I think Amanda's really pretty, actually.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean, she's not ugly. I'm just saying. I don't know the girl from Euphoria. Man, have you seen who I'm talking about? Her name is Sydney Sweeney.
Is that the one that has like the meme where she's like smiling and like looking herself in the mirror?
Yes.
She's freaking out and then like.
Yes.
Okay, I got you. Yeah, I'm going with Amanda. Chris Pratt, for some reason, is in this movie. I don't know why. I just don't know why. Guardians of the Galaxy.
I don't remember that.
Adam Brody. Remember that movie Ready or Not?
Yeah.
He's the guy from Ready or Not.
Was he the husband?
I think so. Pretty sure.
Really? Damn, maybe it's been a while since I saw this movie.
Yeah.
Wow. I don't remember Chris Pratt or Adam Brody in it.
J.K. Simmons is in this one.
Don't remember that either.
Yeah, you didn't watch the movie. This is fucking crazy.
No, I saw it a long time ago. This is 2009. It's been a while.
J.K. Simmons is from Whiplash. I really enjoyed that movie.
I've heard really good things, but I haven't seen it.
I love that movie. You know, J.K.'s ripped?
Yeah.
The guy's jacked.
Yeah.
What the hell?
I remember when the pictures came out during the Batman vs. Superman filming.
Whew.
It was like, oh shit. He's huge.
It's a tank.
Yeah.
I'm intimidated. I gotta hit the gym, bro.
No wonder Peter Parker ain't stand a chance.
Quick synopsis of this movie. Anita Lensicki, a.k.a. Needy. That's her nickname, Needy. That's kind of sad. But Anita and her childhood friend, Jennifer Check, they go to a dive bar to check out this band. It's called Low Shoulder. I guess during the show, a fire breaks out and it kills several people. And Jennifer leaves with the band. Now, the band plans to sacrifice Jennifer, who was presumably a virgin, to Satan in exchange for fame and fortune. Problem was, Jennifer was not a virgin. Go figure. And now she's possessed permanently by a demon, and she needs to feed. And who does she feed on? Her classmates. Needy finds out, and it wasn't until Jennifer goes after Needy's boyfriend, whose name is Chip. I swear, the names in this movie are fucking out of this world. But
Needy
whatever.
And Chip?
Chip, yeah. That's fucking Jesus. But whatever. Jennifer goes after Chip, kills him, and then Needy gets mad. She fights with Jennifer. And for some reason, Jennifer just didn't go after Needy because that's her best friend, which is a little wholesome. That's nice. I'd like to think that if I was possessed, I wouldn't go after you. I would like to think that. But then, you know, as they're fighting, mind you, Jennifer is a demon, and Needy rips off the BFF necklace that they have, and then she just stops fighting, and Needy takes that opportunity to stab Jennifer in the heart, killing the demon, but not after she gets bit by said demon / Jennifer. So she becomes a new demon, goes to jail for killing Jennifer, and she breaks out to kill the band as revenge. It is what it is. This was actually featured in 2007's Blacklist. If you guys remember, the Blacklist is the screenplays that are most liked that haven't been done yet. It really bombed in theaters, though. But it got a cult following on the DVD, so much so that it got a musical in 2018. I know, it's fucking weird.
That's hella whack.
It is whack. But supposedly this is Megan Fox's favorite character that she's played.
I can see that.
This is not a lot. Coming after Megan with her toe thumbs.
I still prefer Transformers Megan Fox.
Yeah. I mean, she was really sexualized there.
She was.
It's fucking... What's this guy's name? Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. It's better than that feet guy from Nickelodeon.
Which one was the... Oh! The one from iCarly?
Well, all those shows, yeah. He was the recruiter and I think producer. You know, just a weirdo.
Yeah.
Forgot his name, but...
IMDb gave this a 5.4 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 46%. Man, really low scores. Not that this movie is anything out of this world, but... I don't know, 46%? 5? I gave it at least a 6. Got Megan Fox, Amanda Seyfried, two beautiful girls, made out for a little bit. It's not bad, whatever.
Rotten Tomatoes just hating.
Yeah, I guess.
On to the next film. I'm going to start off with the Amityville Horror... The Amityville Horror.
Is that from 2005?
Yeah. The newer one is from 2005. It does star Ryan Reynolds, Melissa George. Chloe Grace Moretz is in this film. Rachel Nichols. And Jimmy Bennett.
You know, I saw this as a kid. And I was just traumatized by this movie. I've yet to see it ever again.
Really?
Yeah. I was just traumatized.
I think it was well made, and any child who saw it at the time was traumatized. I think it's just a common theme. There are certain horror movies that if you watch it as a kid, just it's not going to sit well with you.
I can't watch that shit.
Obviously, this movie is a remake. This is a movie that's been done over many, many, many times. It is based on an actual event in which a schizophrenic man murdered his entire family. If I remember correctly, he killed himself after. Oh, I don't remember if he was arrested or if he killed himself, but... He grabbed the shotgun and just went off on his...
Yeah, the weird aspect about it was the fact that I believe there were 7 to 9 family members in the house, and the shotgun that he used was not a silent shotgun. And it almost seems as if the family members heard the shots. His shotgun just so happened to be one of the loudest ones ever to be made. The family members heard the shots. None of them woke up. None of them actually got out of bed. None of them even thought about anything and just almost received this sentence that he gave upon them. It was weird. It was really weird.
I mean, we don't know how this man exactly, like, you know, we don't know the exact events. Who knows? What if it was like, you know, he had so much control and power and he intimidated them so much that he's like,
it's crazy.
Yeah, either you stay in bed or, you know, this will happen.
Right.
I don't know. I'm just speculating, obviously, but for sure they had to have heard it. So it's like what's scary is that you know what's coming. You know you're going to die because the shots are one after another after another. And he killed everybody.
Yeah, he did.
So it was, like you said, very strange. It's a terrifying story. Not as terrifying as the movie. No, I'm just kidding, obviously. More terrifying. But the movie does a good job of making you feel really uncomfortable, disturbed, scared. You're scared for this family. You're scared of what's going on. And it's a very, I would say, infamous name, the Amityville Horror, the Amityville House. You know, I passed by it once as a kid.
Yeah?
Scared, a little weird, a little creepy. Jeez. It's just, obviously, there's that bias because you already know going into it what it is. But it's like, you know, there's weird reports of people who have bought it and passed, you know.
Heebie-jeebies.
This movie is directed by Andrew Douglas. Had a little budget of 18, 19 million. Box office grossed 108.
Nice.
108 million. So it made a nice little profit.
Nice.
This is one of the few times that you will hear me say positive things about Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, because he plays the man being possessed.
Yes.
The man going crazy.
Yeah.
Wasn't his typical personality, which I, for one, can appreciate. A little bit different. He actually had to act, you know what I'm saying?
If I'm not mistaken, he's not in this movie as opposed to any of the prior movies. They're not recreating what happened in those events in Amityville in the house. And this one is just a separate family. He just so happens to move into the house, right?
Right. It's like a retelling, you know, a different, what's the word? A different telling of the story, you know, but using the same name, using that trademark. But it's basically, they're in the Amityville house. You know,
right, whatever. But like they had flashbacks of the guy actually doing it.
Yeah. So it was the old, you know, the house is haunted, like the house is
haunted,
or the devil lives, whatever, you know.
Right.
It's like just, it's using the hype behind the Amityville.
Nice.
But pretty creepy. Mm. Overall, just like you said, just the story itself is scary, the movie. But they do a good job. This movie is one of those horrors I think I would recommend to anybody. It's like, hey, you haven't seen The Amityville? Whether it be the older ones, this one, I think it's kind of a story you got to watch. You got to learn about. Creepy stuff.
Hmm.
Real life creepy stuff.
Going into my second one, I got a good one for you. Sinister, what's up? 2012. Horror/thriller. Directed by Scott Derrickson. Scott directed The Black Phone with Ethan Hawke. The Day the Earth Stood Still with Keanu Reeves. That was a weird movie. It was a weird one.
I think I saw bits of it.
It's very forgettable. And Doctor Strange. It's a weird lineup.
Weird line.
For Scott. I would say the cast in this one is very scarce. Ethan Hawke would be the main protagonist. He's from Training Day. James Ransom. He's Eddie from It Chapter 2.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how far we're going down. I'm pulling at straws at this point.
Yeah.
Claire Foley. She played the daughter. Yeah, exactly. The face you're making is exactly what I expected. So the story in this one is actually what really sold it. Ellison Oswald, he's a true crime writer. And he moves his family into this house where a family was murdered. Obviously, the family doesn't know that. But he's doing that so he can maybe gain some inspiration for his up-and-coming book. He's trying to gain back his notoriety or his reputation after his last two books bombed. But, you know, while, I guess, exploring the house, he finds a projector and some films. And these films have seemingly harmless names on them. But the footage on these films are anything but. They're actually footage of a family being murdered, each one of them. So Ellison does some investigation and learns that these films, they had some symbols, and they refer to a pagan deity called Bugul.
This and movie was hella creepy.
It was creepy. It was super creepy. So apparently Bugul would kill entire families and keep one child to consume their soul slowly. So meanwhile, that being said, Ellison's daughter Ashley, she's receiving visits from a slain child, I guess one of the previous victims. After Ellison sees the child victim watching a film and seeing Bugul himself, Ellison decides to burn the projector and the films and moves the family back to the old house. But unfortunately, Ellison discovers the unburnt films and the projector at his, I guess, new house, which is his old house. And he finds out that the families were actually murdered after they moved away from said house. Each and every one of the families murdered at one point lived in the house that they moved away from. So as he's learning that information, he notices a foreign substance in his coffee and he passes out. Turns out that the ones that were doing the murders are the children. They were being influenced by Bugul. So Ellison's...
The spirits of these children.
No, the children themselves. So Bugul will influence these children to murder their entire family.
Oh, okay.
And then he would take the child.
I get what you're
to
saying.
Slowly consume.
Okay.
So
they're doing his bidding.
They're doing his bidding, basically. Gotcha. He's not murdering anybody. So I guess, if anything, he's being charged for kidnapping.
So he's a good guy.
He's a kidnapper.
He's a good guy. He's a
pedophile.
Oh, damn.
But, so it turns out Ashley was the one who, I guess, spiced Ellison, bound him, killed him, and used her family's blood to paint on the walls. And at the end of the film, a new, I guess, reel appears with the title of House Painting, yet another innocent title. This movie was creepy.
Very.
This movie was really creepy. In fact, in 2020, Forbes conducted a study, and they chose about 35 movies, and they would record the beats per minute for
the viewers?
I guess the audience. Mm-hmm. And on average, Sinister got 86 beats per minute. It beat out everybody else. It spiked up at 131 beats per minute.
Wow.
So it won the scariest movie there in 2020. Mind you, this is a 2012 film.
No, it has a good job of just keeping you on edge the whole time.
It was done very, very cool.
The design was really great.
The design was great.
The concept of the reels and the very creepy looking death, the way it happened, just everything was done well in the film. Mm. It's one of those that I don't think it's praised enough for the majority. Like, it wasn't mainstream. But, you know, anybody who likes horror movies always views this as, universally as a good film.
It gets a lot of hate. But you know what? Despite the limited blood, there's no nudity, no profanity. But this movie still got a rated R just because of the content.
It should have, though. I agree.
Family. Yeah,
yeah, I do
family.
Agree with that, though.
So this is, I think, to me, this is one of the movies where I make an exception. No boobies necessary. This movie's still great to me. Despite that, IMDb gave it a 6.8 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 63%. I gave it an 8, bro. This movie was good to me.
I agree. It was good. One of those horror movies that I think holds up well over time.
Right.
So the next film I'll be going over is Veronica. Veronica is a 2017 horror. I mean, it says here horror drama. I'm not going to write horror drama.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, it has drama, obviously, but it's horror. But it's horror. It's a horror film.
Dramatic ass.
Yeah, this movie was made very popular. It is a Netflix original, if I remember correctly. I don't know if you, the audience, remember. This was about 5 years ago. Fredo, maybe you remember. Mm. And there was this film. And it was making waves, you know, everywhere. Oh, you know, 60% of people or 80, whatever. It was a huge percentage. But whatever percentage of people can't finish the whole movie. Can't finish it. They cannot sit through it. It's too scary. It's too disturbing. You know, and it was like, what the fuck? You know, what movie is this? What?
They always do that shit.
It was this one. So that's kind of why I wanted to talk about it, because I didn't watch it. And obviously, was it that exaggerated? No. But you know what? It wasn't bad. Huh. It wasn't bad. Anybody who says it was bad, they're hating. It really was not terrible. The effects were not bad. The acting is actually pretty good. The story is simple. It's one of the few Ouija board movies that I enjoyed. Mm. And I remember, I enjoyed. Because I'm not going to ride the hype that it was so scary. You know, no. But it follows a young girl, a few siblings, a single mother. Unfortunately, father passed recently. So, you know, they're kind of struggling, getting used to a new place. And at school, they try to, you know, use a Ouija board with her friends. And the friend has a boyfriend that recently passed away. So, you know, she had motivation. The main character, Veronica, had motivation because her father passed. They wanted to contact the dead. Mm. Not a good idea in movies. It was during an eclipse. They were warned that eclipses were used, you know, to do something as some sort of portal dimension, you know, with the undead. She cuts herself. Blood goes on the Ouija board. Blood and Ouija board is never a good thing. You know, never get cut trying to talk to the undead. Of course, she invites something evil, like a devil type of thing. Mm-hmm. And it slowly consumes her life, trying to get at her, her siblings. It's in the apartment. There's some creepy scenes because it's one of those movies where it's filmed. There's a lot of film in the apartment. And the rooms themselves are not big. The apartment itself is not big. And they, you know, they're getting the right angles, the right creepy angles. And it was done well.
Nice.
I would give it like a 7 for a horror film.
Nice.
It's enjoyable. Not a must watch, but enjoyable. It's a nice little watch if you don't mind the subtitles. Even if you speak Spanish. I mean, I'm not a big fan of the Castellano Spanish from Spain.
Right,
so, like, I need the subtitles.
Right.
Regardless. So, if you don't mind subtitles, again, foreign film. Definitely give it a shot if you like horror.
Nice. I'm gonna finish mine off with The Exorcism of Emily Rose, 2005, horror/thriller, directed by Scott Derrickson. Scott was the one who directed Sinister, so the guy knows what he's doing, I guess. casting this one, Jennifer Carpenter. She's from White Chicks.
Ah, nice.
This is another weird cast list.
Weird cast list.
Laura Linney.
I know that name. Hold on. Laura Linney. I know that name. Laura Linney. Is she in her 50s?
She looks pretty old.
Pretty old?
Yeah.
Laura Linney.
Like, I saw her. She looks fucking...
Laura Linney.
She looks old as fuck.
Is she the one from Ozark?
No. Yeah, that's Wendy.
Oh, that's her.
Yeah, Wendy from Ozark.
Okay, I was going to say, like, I know that name.
Yeah.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, she plays the lawyer in this one. She's a lawyer.
She plays the?
Lawyer.
Lawyer, okay.
Yeah. Tom Wilkinson. Tom is from Batman Begins. He's Falcone.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. So, Father Richard, he's a priest, and he's being charged with negligent homicide after a failed exorcism on a 19-year-old Emily Rose. Emily suffered from epilepsy and sought out Moore's help, and he deemed her to be possessed. So the lawyer, Aaron Berner, played by Laura, she researches paranormal activity to better defend her client. Moore tries to tell Emily's story while on the witness stands and reads a letter written by Emily that she wants to endure the pain of this exorcism to be accepted into heaven.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, I know. The jury finds Moore guilty, but requests a sentence of time served, meaning he's free to go. Just say innocent, you know? Just go with innocent.
I kind of like that. I like it and dislike it. Like it because it's a movie, but I would be mad if it was real life.
Yeah, I know.
Because the whole verdict of guilty is a permanent stain. It's like it's basically exactly that. You're guilty. You did it. You're in the wrong.
Right.
But I don't think you're so much in the wrong that I'm gonna give you extra time. Whatever you spent in the jail cell already locked up, that's all you have to do. That's enough punishment. So going forward, like, yeah, you're free, but you serve time. Like, you were guilty. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it was a weird mixed feelings type of thing, but I just kind of went with it. It's a movie. It had a dramatic verdict, if I remember correctly. It was just like the priest, you know, the speech he gave and everybody talking on her behalf. And the movie itself was kind of creepy.
Yeah.
I felt it was kind of slow.
It was slow.
But I enjoyed the little court time. It was a little, I found that part, that aspect to be more original.
The flashbacks were what really sold, and it showed Emily Rose during the possession.
For sure.
Jennifer Carpenter did a pretty good job, actually. During her auditions, she did such a convincing job. She got the job then and there. She was the...
Wow.
Yeah, just like one audition. Of course, this movie is claiming to be based on a true story. And that's not too far off. It's loosely based off of the real possession of Annalise Michel. True crime followers, true crime slash paranormal followers, they know exactly who that is. And you know, they would know that the real recordings slash transformation, that's what's really terrifying about this case. You know, you can research or Google the recordings of Annalise Michel. And, you know, the voices that this girl would be producing, they cannot be reproduced. There's no way. They've brought in experts. There's no way she herself could have produced those voices.
Wow.
Supposedly, she was possessed by 6 demons. She had 67 exorcisms performed on her before she died of malnutrition and dehydration. She was 23 years old. The whole process took about 10 months.
Holy shit.
She would break her bones. She would... She tore her ligaments. She would just drop to her knees to try to pray. And you know, dropping from standing to just to pray. So, 2 priests were found guilty for manslaughter resulting from negligence. They were sentenced to 6 months. But that was dismissed. And they got 3 years probation.
Wow.
So... it's a scary case to this day. According to the Catholic Church, it is one of the most recent real cases of possession. And that's what makes it scary because, you know, when these movies, they say based on a true story, you know, Hollywood's always going to try to embellish a little bit.
Of course.
But this one wasn't too far off, you know. Like, I'm telling you, like, what Annalise looked like before and after was just... it was just really scary, man. Like, this girl really went through the ringer on this one. Real or not, like, even if you're a skeptical on the whole possession case, if you're looking at it as at face value of what these people did, like, you don't get Annalise before and after without some sort of torture or something. So that in itself is pretty disturbing.
Actually, speaking of before and after, that reminds me of when we talked about The Fourth Kind and how they showed the real doctor at, you know, in that interview, and she's like in a wheelchair or something, like she just looked so frail. It's like that again, not that I know that I have evidence of what actually happened, but the whatever she experienced is terrifying, you know. Whatever this Annalise experienced is terrifying, because when you look at those after, you go, you know, whatever you went through, man, I'm sorry. Like it's really tragic.
It's scary stuff.
Yeah.
So IMDb gave this a 6.7 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes gave it a 44. I'm going to be honest with you. This movie wasn't all that. It was fine. Give it a 6.
Agreed.
Fine with a 6. I mean...
if it was a little bit faster paced, it has potential to be like an 8.
Yeah.
But it was just too slow.
It definitely had a lot of content to work with. So it definitely had potential.
So our last movie on this list will be The Possession, a 2012 horror thriller directed by Ole Bornedal.
Ole!
Or maybe just Ole Bornedal. I'm not sure how to pronounce it. Anyways, some familiar names: Jeffrey Dean Morgan, Kyra Sedgwick, lesser known names, Natasha Callas, Madison Davenport. This movie is pretty straightforward. It's one of those, you know... we happen to stumble upon a possessed item, and now this possessed item has taken over our family and is possessing one of our kids, and we have to fight to figure out. We need answers. Remember how I talked about Dark Skies, and you know, J.K. Simmons played the answers guy?
Oh yeah.
So in this movie, the answers guy is actually, if I remember, a rabbi.
Okay.
It's based in New York or in the tri-state area, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan has a daughter with his recently divorced wife. You know, so they're going through it. They have their personal trials and tribulations, again, as many of these movies often do, which is a common theme. Why? Because it's supposed to be said that demons and the paranormal prey on the weak, and the weaker they can make your mindset, the easier and more vulnerable you are to possession. That's kind of like the I would say the common known thing, the like everybody kind of knows. I don't know. It's something I tend to hear often in these films. So they're at a garage sale. Little girl finds a possessed item. They see that it's Hebrew, you know, so that's why they end up going to the rabbi to figure out some answers and why their daughter's acting so violent and possessive over the box itself. You know, saying that she hears whispering from it, and there's a friend is telling her she's special, and you know, creepy stuff. There's some creepy scenes. This is that movie, I don't know if you remember, many years ago in the trailer, that like the girl is opening her mouth in the bathroom mirror and she finds a hair, and then she pulls it until it's like a something, you know, super long in a bundle, and it's just like super creepy, and then eventually a hand pulls. I don't know if you remember, it was part of the trailer.
Dang.
It had a couple creepy moments.
Nice.
I would say it wasn't that scary, like the jump scares weren't all that.
Right.
I kind of chose this movie because I remember vividly the effects. I liked the effects. I liked certain scenes. But, you know, story unoriginal. It was a little bit slower paced. I would have liked it to be a little quicker paced. Acting was there. Not going to lie. Acting was there. No problem at all. But, yeah, you know, basic movie. We got to get answers and we got to fight for the demon. And, you know, almost kills the kid. Almost kills the parent. They have to exercise. You know, again, basic storyline. Nothing crazy. Nothing special. The one scene that I remember, because it was creepy, it was kind of cool, was that when they did the MRI on the main girl that was trying to be possessed in the hospital, in the MRI, like, you could see the face of this demon, of this, you know, Hebrew demon in the MRI, like, next to her heart.
Wow.
The face, that was kind of creepy. So that was cool. But anyways, yeah.
This reminds me of the Dybbuk box. Is that anything in relation to that?
Yes.
So that, because it has a... It's a concept from Jewish mythology, so that really has a lot of similarities within that. That's cool. I like that. That's pretty cool. But that was Possession Week. Demon Possession Week. I don't know. It's a nice little exclamation point to spooky season. But yeah, guys, these are really solid movies. Definitely check them out. Amazon Prime has Jennifer's Body. Peacock has a... Sinister. Voodoo has a couple of these movies. Definitely check them out. These are really solid films if you're into the spooky season still. Continuing on. So, Brian, next week.
Next week.
Going back to the roots.
This is a wholesome week for us.
Wholesome week, yeah.
Something we watched as kids.
Oh, yeah.
Brought to the big screen.
Nice.
We're talking about Power Rangers. And the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
I know you fucks with the turtles.
The Teenage Mutant Goat Turtles.
Nice. Yeah, man, these are good films. I remember 2017 when Power Rangers came out. It was exciting for the both of us. It was pretty cool. Especially Bryan Cranston, who was at the top of his game at the time. He was all in that movie, in that franchise.
Zordon.
This movie was really, really underrated.
It was. We'll get more into detail next week. Mm. We got a lot to say about this.
But yeah, guys, we really appreciate the support and all the feedback. If you liked today's episode or have ideas for future episodes, please get in contact with us. You can reach us on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Our username is FilmPurgatory or Film_Purgatory.
And please remember to turn on all notifications on your streaming services so you know as soon as we drop the latest episode.
Thanks again, guys, and we'll see you
next week.